Welcome back to another episode of Central Perk. I'm Abdullahi, and as always, I have here with me
Sunday. Hello, guys. How you guys doing?
Yeah. Okay, so the the sad man review that we promised. So we're going to be doing that today, and we'll also be giving you guys a review of The Mentalist. This show is so underrated. Like, Tunde.
Yeah. It's one of our peak shows. Like, I don't know if you put up there for real.
Yeah. And yeah. If you want to be top 10 shows, yeah, we'll agree. We both agree on that.
On the list. And it's actually true. It's criminally underrated because except Abdullahi, I don't think, except Abdullahi and my brother, I don't think I know anybody else that has seen The Mentalist, except people I put on The Mentalist. But like, just be having conversations.
Exactly. Most people that I know that I've seen The Mentalist, I'm the one that put them on. Apart from like maybe one or two people that just told me that maybe they watched it when they were young or something.
Mm-hmm. And
like, okay. You wouldn't have.
The show is not recent, per se, but even though anyhow, Mentalist is a big show. Yeah, so we'll be talking about Sandman.
Yeah. I'll be looking forward to getting to that, but yeah, let's just start off with the Sandman. Today, how do we give us a like, if we wanted to like summary, like a one paragraph summary of Sandman. What is it about?
Well, it's not tough, but to me, I feel the show is broken into two because I haven't actually seen the second part of the show, but
I have, so I can carry that.
Okay, yeah, so. There are 11 episodes. I mean, there was one extra episode at the end.
Yeah, there are 10 episodes. So the 11th episode, I started watching it, but I sensed that I wasn't like really connected with the show. It was just looking somehow. I just left it.
It wasn't connected to the show.
It's not really connected to the show because I finished the 10th episode and it is an ending. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it ended nicely enough.
Yeah, so the Sandman. Funny enough, Sandman is actually from the DC comics because it's in the DC universe. But like, I don't think they really explored this part in the Sandman show. There was one particular person from DC universe in the show. This guy Constantine. Constantine's, I think his daughter was in the show. Constantine is one.
Yeah, I know magic related. I love the guy. So. Guy was now. I knew him from
our. Oh yeah, I do. That's true. So
who is his daughter?
I've forgotten her name. She was in Sandman. You don't remember? I've forgotten her name in Sandman, but there was one scene in Sandman where she went to like a church to cast out a demon from one royal like that. She's British, so it was in London. Yeah, it was when they did the time jump from when Endless was captured to when like he was released or he escaped per se. You know, by the time he escaped, civilization like tech dawn, the boom, and like present day times when the guy escaped.
Yeah.
After they showed like his escape, you know, the guy wanted to get his pouch of sand. And then the only lead he had was Constantine's daughter. So he had to go look for her. But she had, I think she pumped it off to someone else. So he had to link with her. And then the show that she went to a church to cast out. She used to cast out demons for a fee, I think. She exorcised one
royal girl that had in church. Okay. Yeah, just let's get back on track. Yeah, giving us a summary of an overview of Sandman.
It's about this guy, Dream of the Endless. I think he has siblings or relatives.
I think they are just called the Endless as a group.
Oh, all of them are called the Endless.
I think so, because you know it's Dream of the Endless. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Dream, Dire, Destiny.
Yeah, Dream, Destiny, and is it Grief?
Dream, Destiny, Desire.
Yeah, Desire.
Those three. Mm-hmm. That is so, elder sister. Death, I think.
Yeah.
That episode was fun. Yeah, it's death. She should be death.
Yeah.
Okay, you've not seen it, Abby. Guy.
No, I started it. I didn't finish it yet.
The episode, that's like the best episode for me for the whole show.
That's the what?
That's my favorite episode from the whole show. It's really nice. Really nice. I'm not the only one. I've seen a lot of people like on Twitter and everything that were really agreeing with us, that were saying that that episode really nice.
Anything, okay, Shisha. I'll
talk about the episode. Just give us the best.
Sure. Sandman is about, in particular, it's about Dream of the Endless. It's called the Sandman because he has three major sources of his power. Of office. But like exactly tools
not,
of office.
Not really sources of his power, but you know
sources
of his authority, office. Like Zeus exactly. And his thunderbolts and Poseidon exactly. And his trident.
And Thor, Thor, and like Zama and stuff. So for the Sandman, he has three weapons that he uses like that. One is his helm. Now, helmets like this. It looks like these
and exterminators
that doctors used to wear during the plague.
Gas mask.
Yeah.
Gas mask.
I don't know what you call it. What did you say? You called it something.
I said gas mask.
Yeah, sort of like a gas mask. Yes, it's long like this. The helmet is pouch of sand and a ruby. One red gemstone like that. So, at the end of the Sandman, it was captured by one British elite like that. That lost, I think he lost his son, and he was trying to get his son back. So he thought he was going to go back again.
He was trying to capture his sister. He was trying to capture them. To be able to bargain with her to give him back his son.
But it went wrong a bit and he got Dream instead. So he Sha captured Dream, put him inside one round. No, he killed
binding circle, Sha.
Yeah. But Sha, he captured Dream and he kept Dream captive. I don't think Dream even spoke to him at all. Like Dream just
He never spoke. He was captive for like over a century. Sure.
Yeah.
And then cause the guy the guy stole his items of office. And those items of office obviously they have power. So they gave the guy became really wealthy. He was already wealthy, but then he obviously became more wealthy. He gave him long life. So yeah, the guy was just boiling out. You see steady parties and everything. And then you just see Dream in the basement just standing there. Naked, by the way.
And then with all this, like Dream has, apart from the real world, like he has a realm of his own where I think that's where dreams are actually like the dreams dream. That people have. That's where dreams
is in the name.
Exactly, yeah. So Isha has his own realm. So like obviously as he was being held captive, his own realm was being laid to waste. He wasn't there, everything went bonkers. His realm wasn't, it turned upside down, and most of his people they jackpot, except from one loyal
Lucien.
One particular
Lucien.
Lucien. Yeah,
I love the way the guys say,
I like the she was the only one who remained. And when Isha escaped from captivity, he went back to his realm. And I don't know why he was surprised that his realm had turned upside down. But
exactly. That was just daft to me.
Because, I mean,
century. Why would
you expect things to remain the same way? So he went back and it was, oh, yes. And Dream usually has this raven. Is it? Shana Wingman, I would call him, but like he always usually has a raven. Sha, I think his raven was killed while he was in captivity. His raven was trying to help him escape.
The guys that captured him, his son shot it.
That's sad. Sha. So Isha,
I swear, it was sad, and they didn't even like really explore that stuff. Sha, but well, I mean, it was dead. Nothing much to say about that.
Okay, so. There was another raven this one was special because Endless didn't really want the raven to be going about with him. Because after what happened to his first raven,
I don't think he wanted that to repeat itself. So he really didn't want the Raven to be like going along with him. Plus, he felt that the Raven was just there to monitor him, like Lucien's, because it was a way for Lucien to keep an eye on him. And sure, after he saw that his room had turned upside down, he had to like go get his tools of office, because the person that captured him took it. And I mean, after a century, he was scattered all over the globe. He sure didn't know where his stuff were. So, for I think his helm was the first thing he got back. And yeah, that was when he went to. Was it his helm or his pouch of sand? I think it was his pouch of sand. I really don't remember. But
we don't need to get too much into it. After I got out of captivity, he went looking for his tools of office. That's the sand, the helm, and the ruby. So that was like the first couple of episodes. What was the first big thing that happened? Yeah, when he went to hell, the showdown with Lucifer.
He met Lucifer Morningstar.
I was really happy. The person that acted Lucifer.
Yeah. It was Bran of Tarth from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, from GOT.
And actually, the method, the thing is, when he was in hell, he had like a battle with Lucifer. And the type of battle they had, when you hear that someone fights with them, you expect something like physical and confrontational.
Bro.
But like their fight there was actually, it was quaint.
Spoken word. Exactly. Spoken word.
You got the spoken word, because they were just talk. It was sure, like when you see
me and Tunde having a battle. Let's do like a mock fight of a replay of how it was. Okay. I'll go first. I am a hawk.
You are a hawk. I'm a spear that eats hawks.
Bro, that's how it was. So like, it's just like then, yeah.
So then, okay, say
as I said, I'm a hawk. You now drew like you now see a picture. You start do like a video. You see a hawk flying. Then okay, so they said I'm a spear that killed the hawk or something like that. Sha. Then the spear will now hit the hawk. You now see me. I'll now go down. Oh,
exactly. Like, as if the spear actually hurts you. Yeah, that was
very. To be honest, I didn't actually really mind it, Shah. A lot of people took offense to it. Like,
I actually found it was interesting, because I mean, I didn't expect it, but anyhow, it wasn't bad. Like, in my opinion, it wasn't bad.
Exactly. I didn't really have any expectations to see a battle or anything, Shah. So I wasn't really let down or whatever.
So, Shah, after getting one of his tools from L, the other two were in the real world. For the ruby has a perk. Whoever is with the ruby, like, I think they are kind of invincible. Like, they can't be hurt, and they get long life. I think immortality. So, the ruby ended up with a guy like this. The guy was in a psych ward for a long time. His mother passed the ruby down to him, and he broke out of the psych ward. And he wanted to turn the entire world upside down with the ruby. But luckily, Endless got the ruby. And then the sand. Yeah, the sand was where Constantine's daughter came in. Because the sand was with a babe that Constantine's daughter dated one time. So, yeah, they got the sand back from the babe. And Endless was reunited with his tools of office. Yeah, that was the first half of the Sandman for me. The second half started with when Endless got together with Death. That's the sister. So I think that's where you come in.
Okay. That episode was my favorite. Either episode 6 or episode 7. So So Death links up with Dream links up with his sister. And she's older sister, and they just make it like a kind of fun elder sister, like ruining the younger brother, like making fun of him and telling him he's being too serious and everything and stuff like that. Imagine Death is telling Dream that he's too serious. And who could that be? But the stuff was really, there's no anybody that watches this episode would like it. It's the kind of like good natured and fun stuff, Sha. So just be playing about with him, then she will remind him of a deal that they made. So they'll do like a flashback to like the 14th century or something. There was this guy. So she and Dream were just, you know, they were working together at that time. They were just taking a stroll in the human world. And Dream was like looking down on humans, that what is this? And was just looking at everybody, that what are these guys doing and everything. So anyhow, they just saw one guy. So they now made a bet that this guy, we're going to make this guy immortal. That's death. Obviously, she's dead. She just decided that she's not going to take him. And that every 100 years, Dream will go and ask the guy that, does he want to still keep on living? Yeah. That was like... Exactly. That was most of what was happening in that episode. So, okay. The guy now... Dream now spoke to the guy. And they made the guy ask him if... Dream now asked the guy if he wanted the deal. And the guy said, of course. The guy said yes. Because, you know, just thought was this one saying that this is a joke. They were in a bar. Dream just told the guy that, does he accept the deal? And the guy said yes, and he shook. And the guy just laughed and kept on drinking with his guys. Fast forward, next 100 years, he just told him that, okay, that we'll keep on meeting at the same bar. Every 100 years on this day, we'll meet at this bar, and we'll see how, if you still want to keep on living, you tell me how the last 100 years have gone for you, shall you get, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the guy that came back next, the next 100 years, he came back, Dream came back, met the guy. The guy was like that, wow, that who are you? That he didn't really, he obviously didn't believe when the guy told him and everything.
Yeah.
But then the guy was like that. Yeah, the guy, after the initial, like, who are you talk and all of that, the guy was now like just talking to Dream that, whoa, that. Dream now asking that, do you still want to keep on living? The guy was like that, are you joking? That I'm loving life, that everything is amazing. Because the guy was like already rich and everything. Because obviously, alive for 100 years, you get now. That's this kind of idea.
100 years, like that's
exactly cool. 100 years or more. So yeah, okay. Fast forward another 100 years. I think the guy was still rich. He had gotten richer. Life was good. Everything was soft. The next 100 years, the guy was already broke. Dream asked the guy that, does he still want to keep on living? I said yes. Next 100 years, my man was back again. You get? Yeah, but then I think that he and Dream now had an argument or social. The guy he said something about that. Maybe Dream needs him or something, that maybe Dream is like his only, maybe the guy is like Dream's only friend.
Madu.
Perfect. So Dream and just left. And that was when, so before their next meeting, that was when Dream now got captured. So yeah, what his sister was just reminding him how all of this came about. Sister was reminding him that. How about your friend?
Wait, are you saying that episode 6, when we saw death for the first time, that was before Dream's captivity?
No. It started in the present. So your sister will not be like that. How about your friend that you missed your last meeting?
Oh, okay. Okay, I grab now.
You now give us all of the backstory.
I grab.
If you don't want to watch Sandman, just watch this single episode. Just watch this single episode. Really, it's by far. I really like the episode. Yeah. So then Dream, you just have a nice ending to the episode. You just meet the guy again, and you just be like that. Yes, that I know. Shall I say? Then after, let's just round up on Sandman, because I really want to get to the mentalist as well. We've spent much more time than I anticipated on Sandman. Really into details. So yeah, there's this, okay, while Dream was in captivity, a lot of people slept and they didn't wake up.
Yeah, because they couldn't have dreams.
Sleeping sickness or something, sure. Yeah, because people were dreaming, and obviously that's his realm, and because the king of the dreaming is, that's what it's called, the dreaming. not very inspired, but we'll go with that. Anyhow, a lot of people were stuck in the dreaming. They just kept on dreaming, and they just called it the sleeping sickness or something. So there were a lot of them, millions of people all over the world, and all of them died eventually, except one girl. So she became, when she eventually woke up, she only woke up when Dream was when Dream became free. So she only woke up when Dream became free. And obviously, that's like after so many years. So she was already an old woman. And she was only a child when the stuff happened initially. And she just woke up. She was already an old woman. All her life was gone, you know. She was like, imagine it. You go to sleep one day like 8 years old. And then you wake up and you're like 78.
Yeah.
But then I can't remember exactly how the Shah explained this. The Shah fraudulently brought up one connection that Shah had the granddaughter. I won't bother going to explain that. Go and watch it.
Wait. If it's what I'm thinking, that's crazy. But you can't even be because I don't even know. Anyhow.
Forget it. It's nothing nasty. I can't actually remember how they just explained it. You know what, guys? If they want to give an explanation, actually, Shah makes sense.
They know how to cap. They know how
exactly. They know how to twist everything. Yeah. So Shah is. So every once in a while, a dream vortex is born. So it's somebody that has the capacity to destroy the dreaming Shah, that has the capacity to destroy the dreaming, and it's just a regular human, and the person will know what they are. So yeah. The best her granddaughter. So her name is something Kincaid. Her surname is Kincaid, so she's loaded. Like her family is loaded too. The only saving grace is that okay, she just woke up one day like 70 something. She shall loaded. At least that one is there. So she, you know. So she's just living in England and everything, and her butler and everything. So yeah. Just one day she sends for Ruby. That's the vortex, her granddaughter. She sends for Ruby. She realizes, she finds out that she has a granddaughter. So she sends for her. And then that Ruby, her brother, she got separated from her brother when she was young. So she's looking for her brother. And then eventually she encounters, and then Dream recognizes her that she's the vortex. We've never even talked about, okay, so, you know, when you dream, sometimes you have nightmares. So in the dream, there are guys that work for Dream. He has nightmares that work for him. He has nightmares, and they're like, there are people that work for him. I guess I've not done a perfect job of explaining this, but yeah, that's just it. Yeah, he has people that are called nightmares that work for him.
There was one particular one that escaped that.
Yeah, there was one guy that escaped from him, and was the guy that became a serial killer. He was the what was his name? I'll do a quick Google search, but yeah, so that guy was like sort of the main villain for the show, and the guy was trying to use Ruby, the vortex, to destroy Dream. And eventually Dream was about to kill scratch that. I'm just trying to get you to watch the Sandman. I'm not trying to tell you the whole tale. So yeah, Sandman overall rating for me, 8/10. 8/10. Yeah.
Okay.
You?
Yeah.
I found it. The guy, the main villain is the Corinthian. Yeah, guy was nice. Yeah, he was a solid villain. He's the kind of guy you can really get behind as a villain in the mode of T-Bag. You've not seen Prison Break.
I have.
Bag. Yeah. Did you know that they made a movie after the fourth season or so?
Yeah.
That Kira was in jail.
I heard of it.
So I just watched it tonight, and yeah. it was okay, but it was obvious that it shouldn't have happened, because you know it was just such a rubbish, like it's not rubbish, but you know. When you think of like how much thought goes into like his plans normally, and then the plan that he used to get out of jail when everybody knew that he was going to come and get out of jail and everything. Nah, it was just shit.
Idea.
Anyhow, Shah, the mentalist. The mentalist. Wow. Do you want to start?
The mentalist particularly, yeah. The major character is Jane. I've forgotten his surname, but
Pat Jane. day. Oh, I'm yeah, disappointed.
Patrick Jane. How did I forget that?
Take a seat. How can you forget? Okay. That's like saying you've forgotten Raymond Reddington.
That's annual.
You know.
Annual. See, Jane will forgive me. Sure. Patrick Jane, he's a showman.
He's a mentalist. I've forgotten the psychic. Like, trust the one. When the show starts, they will show you the definition of mentalist. Let me quickly Google it.
He used to pretend to be a psychic, and he used to pretend that he could tell people things about them that they didn't tell anybody else, or that you ordinarily wouldn't expect Jane to know. But what Jane was actually doing was, the thing is, he's a very perceptive guy, so he can kind of read people's body language, and that's what he was doing for, like, those people. He would just, like, their mannerisms and their body language, he would just read it and just take an educated guess, and most of the times it was correct. Sham, he had a major tragedy, Sham struck Patrick Jane, and that made him, like, reassess his life choices. And instead of being a con artist, he decided to put, like, his skills to better use. So he joined the CBI. The CBI is the California Bureau of Investigation. It's like a bridge in between the, like, local PDs and the FBI. It's not a federal agency, but it's not just a state agency either. So, like, it's here in between local police and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. So was I working there with Lisbon. Lisbon was the major detective was working there with, and there were side detectives that were working under Lisbon that was working together with. There was Cho was my favorite guy amongst all of them. Cho was just a straight guy, like. He was the guy, you know. How do I even say it? You know, they take rubbish, like, and he doesn't have time for rubbish. Like, that's just who Cho was. And then there was Rigsby, and then there was Van Pelt. Van Pelt was a babe, a proper babe. I remember I was in love with her for the most part of the mentalist. But anyhow, yeah, I was working with them, like, you know. Most of it was procedural, actually, because they just used to solve crimes together. And then there was a formula. The end, like the last episode, or like at most the last two episodes of each season, they would focus on, like, the main villain of the show. The main villain of the show was a guy named Red John. Like, I'm trying not to spoil the show, but the main villain was Red John. And see, please, whatever you do, this was a mistake that I made. I don't remember if Abdullah made it, but I made the mistake of, like, stretching who Red John was, because that's, like, the big question that's, like, cast a shadow over the show. Like, who exactly is Red John? Red John was just a serial killer, and they were looking for Red John, but they didn't know who Red John was. So, like, that question just hangs over the show for, like, a couple of seasons up until the big reveal. But Sha, please just be patient. Don't Google it, because you'll be disappointed, and you want to knock yourself. But Sha,
exactly. You just spoil it for yourself. Just enjoy the journey.
Mm-hmm. So Sha, that's basically it. And towards the end of the show, you know, finally they did reveal who Red John was, but they didn't end the show there. They, like, upped their game. Instead of them working at CBI, they began to work for the FBI instead. And, you know, it seemed like that was where the show got, like, a major up in their budget, because the show just looks crisper, like, when you watch it, like, those little scenes. I think
it's crisper. I think it they go to different locations, mm-hmm. and a lot of stuff. It's just obvious that their budget just went up to another level. Yeah,
it was soft, Sha. It was soft, like, and the mentalist was very, very, sort of in two parts.
I say you're right. It's sort of in two parts. When they were at the CBI rather.
CBI, yeah.
Towards the end of every season and during the season as well, there was always the scepter of Red John hanging over the show. sort of making it a little bit serious and let's just say was making James obviously was making him unhappy because he's hunting a serial killer. And well, after I think season five, it should be season five, towards the end of season five, that was like what's Red John.
Mm-hmm.
The end of season five, when the Red John saga was at the end. Then season six and seven, obviously the weight was
The weight was lifted.
So Jane was happier, she was just happier generally. Just makes for a happier show because the budget lift.
Thing is like, you know how I said that the whole thing was procedural and there was like a formula that it's just like the last couple of episodes per season that they used to majorly focus on Red John. Like for every other episode apart from those episodes, the mood was just like happy and just fun and you know, because Patrick Jane on his own, the guy is a goof. Like he just likes to play. Like he's a big goofball. Like the guy just he's a fun guy. But like those couple of episodes at the end, the guy will be serious and everything. But anyhow, and there's this particular poem from the show that I love and it's stuck in my head. Tiger, Tiger, Burning Bright in the Darkness of the Night. Yeah, it's very important.
There was we can talk about it now. It's not a spoiler per se.
It's not per se.
There was this conspiracy. So they call themselves the Blake Association. So it's made up of, you know, who's who, politicians. Like
the top agents of government,
a lot of different guys in government, police officers and all of that. So that's how they identify themselves.
It's like, it's like the fulcrum. Is it the fulcrum?
It's like the fulcrum in Blacklist. Oh my goodness, we've still not done the Blacklist review. I asked Tunde. Tunde said we've spoken about
Blacklist. Actually, it's not cap. We've talked about Blacklist too much. Yeah, I believe we're biased.
There have been nine seasons of Blacklist.
We are biased. Seasons. We love Blacklist too much.
We can do countless episodes.
Can you imagine? You can see that we managed to talk about Blacklist in this episode. We've almost talked about Blacklist.
How did we talk about Blacklist like that? We just made the reference.
But we shall manage to sleep back to this one,
like now we've mentioned Fulcrum. A lot of people that might not have seen Blacklist, they will not still be able to appreciate the scale of the organization that we're talking about because they won't still be able to understand. We've said the Blake's Association, we said Fulcrum.
As much as I love Blacklist, do you know I've never seen it a second time?
It's really difficult actually. Because for one, it's like up until a couple of months ago, we're still watching it week by week. So it's not time to rewatch it, basically.
I'm
almost thinking I'm going to rewatch it. Definitely.
And plus, the show is mad long.
There's times that it's really long. Like, it's the kind of show that you can't even remember everything that's happened. No cap. Because exactly. A lot of conspiracies and different plans. Every season is different on its own. So, like, every season is a work of art on its own. And forget. I'm definitely going to rewatch it, but sometime in the future, I don't even know. I want to rewatch it, but I don't know if that's ever going to happen. So the mental progress.
I
don't know if
we've basically said this now. Like that's basically all the like just the major things to look out for in the mentalist is his genes, like in particular, is the main guy. Like you have a lot of fun seeing him walk and seeing him. He likes to make people sweat. Like, you know, he can read people, so he likes to make them like. He just
like you said before. Now you see me. Think of Now You See Me.
Yeah, true.
Characters were like really smart, and then these like play tricks on people. That's just
and stuff.
Yeah, that's Jane. That's Jane. Mm-hmm. And then just think of that episode after episode, season after season. The show is just fun. This is a show that's come, but you're going to have a lot of fun watching it.
And very important, all the people I've put on Mentalist, they've come back to thank me that I put them on Mentalist. So
exactly. I swear, the show is actually really top. And it pains me. It actually pains me that it's not is so undervalued because the show is so. You know what? I might get some. Okay, no, I won't do it. I was going to say that it's better than Breaking Bad, but there isn't really a basis for comparison. But definitely, I would.
Don't let them cook for you.
I will say it. I prefer to Breaking Bad, but it's not. They're not the same thing, Sha.
They're not the same at all.
Like, it's not even fair. Somehow, it's not fair to even compare them. But yeah.
Anyhow, so like,
Breaking Bad is top. Huh? Breaking Bad is top. Before anybody wants to say come for me or anything, Sha. Breaking Bad is top. Yeah, it's a macho. Yeah.
Yeah, no. No other.
If you have any, I think we should stop here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's based, like, we're basically said
okay, it all. Yeah, just a rating. Mentalist. We gave Sandman 8 over 10. Yeah, so Mentalist, anyway, 10 over 10. 11 over 10, if possible. We sure it's just top.
Okay. So, yeah, Mentalist, like, very good show. Like, for real. So, yeah. There you have it.
I would be really glad if people who listen to this watch it, because I'm sure you're going to come back with glowing reviews. Just give it a few episodes. Give it one episode. The first episode was nice. Even the first episode was nice. Give it one episode. You should like it.
I think I'm going to go back to the Mentalist. I'm going to go rewatch it. For real. I'm going to go rewatch it.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll leave you. We'll leave you here. Mm-hmm. As always, it's been fun doing this. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Okay, now. Peace.
All right.